welcome to Anticlimactic Friday. It's Anticlimactic Friday. But you've never heard of Anticlimactic Friday? That's because I just invented it. Yesterday, I took you beyond the new heavens and the new earth into the consummation when death is abolished. Jesus Christ gives up his reign to his God and Father, and God becomes all in all. Now we're going to go way back to the thousand-year kingdom. Well, it's way back there when you're considering the consummation, but from our perspective, it is yet ahead. So let's look into it. There's a lot of bad teaching going on that this thousand-year kingdom is not going to be literal, that we're somehow supposed to appreciate it as within ourselves. I think that takes away a lot of the fun in this life, waiting to see some stunning things that Jesus is going to do. What a disappointment if the kingdom that Jesus came proclaiming wasn't really real. Here's where that misunderstanding takes root. Where else? From a misquoted scripture. You know, many people, when they have wrong ideas about God, they quote scripture, but if you look carefully, they're just doing a little twist of it. They're not looking at a word correctly. I say we have to find out what God said, then let's argue about it. I have spent a lot of time arguing with folks, I try not to do this, but there have been a lot of arguments over the years over things God hasn't even said. The first thing we got to do is find out what God said, then let's argue. Luke 17:20. Now, being inquired of by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming, he, Jesus, answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny." I'm reading, you probably never heard that. I'm reading out of the Concordant Literal New Testament. I should have read it out of the King James first. Well, I'm going to paraphrase it out of the King James. I know what they translate here. King James says this. Here's where the misunderstanding comes from. Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with observation." That's what the King James says. It's also what the NASB says. It uses the word observation or observed, and the NIV says visibly. So if you're reading this from these translations, sure you're going to think, well, it says the kingdom of God is not coming with observation, so you won't be able to see it. Well, that's kind of disappointing, but we'll have to come to grips with it. It's in the Bible. Must mean it's an invisible kingdom. We're somehow supposed to find this kingdom within ourselves or wait to become better people so the kingdom can live in us. But that is not what Jesus said. The Greek word he said, Jesus never spoke English, by the way. That comes as a shock to a lot of people. He probably spoke Aramaic, but his words were recorded in Greek. The word here is paratiresis. Paratiresis. It is a two-part Greek word. Para means beside, and teresis means keeping. This word, the literal elements are beside keeping. The kingdom of God is not coming with beside keeping. What in the world are you getting at, Martin? Well, to beside keep is to really watch something carefully, to look with great care, to stay beside it, to keep beside something, like you would do with a sick child. You don't just observe that child, you scrutinize every little detail. And that's what this word is translated correctly in the Concordant Version. Scrutiny. It doesn't come with scrutiny. Here's my question. I'm going to explain the significance of that in a second. Why did the King James use observation here? There is already a Greek word for observation, and it is the word blepo. And in fact, the King James translated that word blepo, observation, many times. So they already had observation covered with the Greek word blepo. Here is a, not blimpy, no, it's the sub-company. Here is a completely different Greek word, paratiresis. You know what that means? God has a different thought. That's what that means. God's trying to say something different than blepo. Well, I know. Let's make that observation, too. Let's make blepo observation. Let's make paratiresis observation. Let's make a bunch of different words observation. No, you got to be real careful here. Now, here's the significance. We're dealing with the Pharisees here. Remember, Jesus is being inquired of by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming. They wanted to be the only ones who would be able to discern the kingdom. They wanted to jump on everybody else. Remember, it's the same reason the Catholic Church kept the scriptures to themselves in the Middle Ages. They didn't want anybody else getting on their inside track with God. So here's the Pharisees saying, when is it coming? When's the kingdom coming? Because those little rat finks, they wanted to slink in front of everybody else and lord it over them. Jesus said, the kingdom of God's not coming with scrutiny. You're not going to need scrutiny to find this kingdom, because it's going to come with great signs and wonders. To prove that to you, I'm going to go to Matthew 24, verse 26. Jesus is saying, if then they should say to you, lo, in the wilderness is he, you may not be coming out. Lo, in the storerooms, you should not be believing it. For even as the lightning is coming out from the east and is appearing as far as the west, thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. Now immediately after the affliction of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not be giving her beams, and the stars shall be falling from heaven. That's going to make CNN. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Mankind in heaven. And then all the tribes of the land shall grieve, and they shall see the Son of Mankind coming on the clouds of heaven with power and much glory. Hey, this is going to make CNN. And he shall be dispatching his messengers with a loud sounding trumpet, and they shall be assembling his chosen from the four winds, from the extremities of the heavens to their extremities. It's so funny that we're arguing, it's the kingdom here, it's the kingdom here. If you have to ask, it's not here. And Jesus is warning that if they say, lo, in the wilderness is he, or lo, in the storerooms, if somebody is saying that it's going to be localized, well, there he is, he came over in that corner. Oh, he's over there, he came over at the Yankee Stadium. No, he's over at the Hollywood Bowl. Oh, no, he's at the First Baptist Church. You won't have to mess with that. And he told the Pharisees it's not coming with scrutiny, because it's coming with thunder and lightnings and signs and marvels, and every eye is going to see him. Sorry, Pharisees, you people are not going to be able to scrutinize saying this thing. It's not coming with scrutiny. It's not coming with beside keeping. You're not going to sit beside this boiling pot and be the first ones to see the smoke rise. No, it's coming with great signs and wonders. That clears everything up, doesn't it? It is coming with observation. Matthew 24 made that plain. Here in Luke 17, we're finding out something different. It's not coming with scrutiny. Scrutiny will be useless. It'll be everywhere. Verse 21. Neither shall they be declaring, lo here or lo there. Just dealt with that. It's kind of an overlapping passage there from Matthew 24. They shall not be declaring, lo here or lo there, because it's going to be everywhere. And then Jesus goes on to say, for lo, the kingdom of God is inside of you. And here is another place people get the idea that the kingdom of God is some kind of mystical, mysterious, invisible, nebulous. I promise I'm not looking at a thesaurus here. I'm just that smart. Ethereal, how's that thing? But here's what Jesus was saying. That's a figure of speech. The kingdom of God is inside of you. I must remind you again, he's speaking with Pharisees whose idea of rule was direct outside coercion. The only way they could get people to do what they want was to coerce them. The Catholic Church coerced people in the Middle Ages to be faithful because they scared them and they made them pay money to break their loved ones out of purgatory. It was always an outward threat that made things work. And that's the way it is during these years of mankind's rule. It's an outward threat. But this kingdom is inside of you. In other words, it's going to spring from the heart. Yes, God is going to change the heart of his people, Israel. Read Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. Chapter 31 of Jeremiah, chapter 36 of Ezekiel, you'll find that God's going to give Israel a new heart. This kingdom is going to spring from a changed heart. And in that sense, it is within you. It's not going to be enforced from without. It's going to spring from within. But that does not eliminate the fact that this is going to be an actual political kingdom. Well, there's so much more to be said about the different realms. There's earth realm, there's a heavenly realm. I haven't even discussed the work of the body of Christ that is beyond Israel's work on the earth. I'm going to have to save that for another time. Anyway, I hope your appetite is whetted in that direction. Anticlimactic Friday is now over. I hope you've enjoyed your time with me. I'll look forward to seeing you again next week. Have a good weekend.